I hope you all had a nice lunch break. Please sit down, because now we continue with our first speaker, Joris van den Bossche, on geopandas.
Okay. Good afternoon. Quickly about myself, I'm currently working at INRIA for the Université Paris-Saclay Center for Data Science. My talk is not related to the work that I do there, but I'm here with their support. So my talk will be about GeoPandas, and which has a goal to make it easier to work with geospatial data in Python. But before I get to GeoPandas itself, let's look at a part of my title, the geospatial data. So what is it, or why do we need a separate library for that? So yeah, any kind of data that have somehow a connection or to a place on location on the Earth, and due to that spatial aspect, you want to do some other kind of operations, spatial operations on those data that you can't do with typical data analysis libraries that we already have in the Python ecosystem. So, as an introduction, to give you a few examples, for example, many governmental data on statistics, on population density, poverty, and things like that, geospatial data. Another example, biodiversity data. Here, the picture shows some bird tracking experiments where they specifically tracked a single or a few birds, but also biodiversity observations from volunteers that just record their observations, a typical example of geospatial data. So it's also an example of volunteer geographic information, which, for example, OpenStreetMap is another example of that generates a lot of geospatial data. Last small example, here it shows the New York taxi data set, where you see I visualized the drop-off and pickup locations. So also data with anyhow related to logistics or locations of customers, all geospatial data. Now, if you talk about geospatial data, there are two big families of data. So we, on the one hand, left you see an example of raster data, typically from, for example, satellite imagery. Here you see the heat loss of buildings, but it's grid-based, so it are pixels. While on the other hand, you have vector data, which is coordinate-based, so you have objects with certain coordinates, and there are relationships between those coordinates. And in my talk, I'm going to focus on those vector data. And many of the software packages that work with vector data, they work with a common abstraction model to model those the real world with vector data, which is called Simple Features. It's an open geospatial consortium standard. So you have points, single points, line strings, polygons, or you can have combinations of those multiple ones, one vector feature that consists of multiple of those. So that's how the objects in the world will be described. Often, those data will also be attached to attributes. So each feature, each vector feature, has certain attributes that describe that feature or holds properties of that feature. And you may already guess, but here, if you have such an attribute table, that's where that will pandas and geopandas will come into the picture. But before going to the Python packages to work with geospatial data, I quickly want to say something about a bigger ecosystem, because many of the base Python geospatial packages are actually just built upon a wider ecosystem. And many of those libraries that I will show now are supported by the Open Source Geospatial Foundation. One is GDAL. It's a library that, a C library that, basically can read and write all different kinds of formats for geospatial data with a common model inside the library, both for raster as for vector data. So it can read and write many different formats, file formats, and it's also used in many different libraries of our software packages. So many of the, for example, desktop JIS applications actually use GDAL for their imports and exports. Another one which is important for this talk is Geos, which is a C library that implements those simple features that I showed before, those points, line strings, polygons. So it implements that in C and all the different functions, operations that you could do on such features. It's used, again, under the hood by many applications. For example, PostGIS, which is the special extension to the PostgreSQL database, is an interface or wrapper on Geos. So the Python, the base Python geospatial packages are often interfaces to those libraries. So we have the Python bindings for GDAL. Another one that I didn't mention is PoRe4 for conversions of projection systems. But the Python bindings to GDAL are not that Pythonic. They are rather close to the C API. So you have some more Pythonic libraries, both started by some Gillis, which is Raster.io to work with raster data, Fiona for vector data, and then Shapely, which is based on the Geos library. So that's the one I will talk a little bit more. So what does Shapely? Shapely provides a Python, is a Python package which provides those features, those points, line strings, polygons, with the under the hood uses Geos for those operations. Very small example. For example, I can create a point, I can create a line, I create a polygon by buffering my line, and then you have many operations that you can do on them. For example, I want to check whether my polygon contains the point, and in this case, it's true. So it's a very nice library with one bottleneck, is that in actual data that you have, often you don't have a couple of those points and lines. But often you have a bunch of such points and also combined with an attribute table. So, and that's where then GeoPandas comes into play to use Shapely but provide this easier interface. So it was started by Kelsey Jordahl with the goal to make working with geospatial data just like any other data. As you are used to work with NumPy, with pandas, enable that for geospatial data as well. And to be able to do analysis, which you could also do with desktop GIS applications like QuantumGIS or ArcGIS or with the PostGIS database. So it extends pandas to make it geometry aware. And it's actually a rather lightweight library because it just builds upon all those different packages and libraries that I already mentioned in this talk. Okay, but enough slides that I've shown. Let's have a small demo to give you a better idea of what the GeoPandas can do and looks like. So, first thing, GeoPandas can read and write many different formats by using Fiona with a read file function. And for example, I downloaded some data from Paris about the bicycle sharing system, which is called VELIP, about the availability of bikes. And if I show you, you will see, so it just looks like a data frame. You see some different attributes and also point geometries. The second thing that I downloaded are the different quartiers, so the different administrative districts of Paris, and some data as well. So what are those objects that you saw? It are geo data frames. If you look here at the data type, it's a geo data frame. What is a geo data frame? Just a pandas data frame, but which has a geometry column, which you can always access through the .geometry attribute. Geometry column doesn't necessarily need to be called geometry, but this one, what you see here, that's a geo series, and a geo series is nothing more than a series, but which holds geometry objects, in this case points, and enables and adds to the, because it's a subclass of a pandas series, it adds all the spatial operations that you would like to do on all those points, adds them to the object. And if you access a single object of those, you can see that are actually the Shapely point objects, which were wrappers around the Geos library. It's still a data frame. So although hey, it's now a geo data frame, but all the things that you know of pandas, you can still do. For example, I filter here some Boolean filtering. So I only take those stations which are open. And I can, for example, from of the bike stands, make a histogram where you see a distribution of how many bike stands are there at each station of bikes. But it's not just a data frame. So we now have access to many of the spatial operations. For example, of the different quartiers, I want to know the area. And those is available as an attribute. You have many other attributes as well for the different properties of those geometries. I downloaded, checked a certain point. But for example, I could also, for my stations, calculate the distance to a certain point. The point to the coordinates are for the Notre Dame in the center of Paris. So I can easily calculate for all my points in my stations, data frame, the distance to that single point. And then I can, for example, also check which of my quartiers, which of my districts contains this point, which will give you a Boolean series. And with that, you can filter and you see it's actually the quartier with which is called Notre Dame, which is not surprising, of course. There are many more of those spatial operations. There is a list. All the common ones are implemented. Another thing you can do with GeoPandas is quickly visualize your data. For example, if I just plot the different quartier, here you see it's maybe not very visible on that line on the screen there, but all the different polygons. And then there are some options to tweak those figures. For example, I want to give them some random different colors or some face colors and edge colors, some alpha. The typical, it's our Matplotlib figure, so you can just also afterwards adjust them. They're just like a Matplotlib figure. You can also plot the points. Here, just, of course, a cloud of points. In this case, for the points, it might be nice, for example, that you can also show the streets behind it. So what did I do for the demo? I downloaded using the OSM NX library, from OpenStreetMap, a shapefile of all the streets. And I can, for example, then make a combined plot with now two data frames, one data frame with line strings, and I added there all the different points of my stations. I can also color my plot based on a certain value. For example, here, which are the available bikes, I specify use the available bikes to color. I did my plot. I can also do, for example, legend is true to get a remove this one to get a color bar with it. And here you see that closer to the center, there are more available bikes. So all people went with their bikes to the center. And there are a lot of bikes available, while in the more further away of the center, there are less bikes available. The same with with the quartiers. I can also give them some colors. Something else of GeoPandas is that it provides some spatial operations, like spatial zones. So what I here do in this demo is I want to know for each station in which quartier it is located. So what I do is a spatial zone of my stations with the quartier, and I say how should it be zoned. It should be zoned based on whether the station is within the quartier. So I specify that the operation should be a within operation. And if you now look at this data frame, it's not, with the zooming, not that visible, but you will see that there is now a new column at the end here, which says, which is the name of the quartier. So I can, for example, count for each quartier how many stations there are by grouping on the quartier name, which is the LQ. It's a bit strange name, but and count them. And I add them back to my quartier dataset. So now I have in my quartier I have a number, which is how many bike stations there are in that area. For example, I can now plot my quartiers again, but now with the coloring of the number of bike stations. So it's spatial zones let you easily combine data of different geospatial data sets. For this case, because it's more informative to know the relative number of bike stations by the area, I calculated that as well. And you see here that in the center there are more bike stations than further away. I will maybe skip the example here, but just to say that GeoPandas can also very easily convert from one coordinate reference system to the other by using PyPro under the hood, using the two CRS function. Another example, just to show that you can also very easily, for example, plot your data of GeoPandas with volume, which was already mentioned this morning, to have more interactive or web-based plots. So, very quick, maybe a bit too quick, demo of GeoPandas to give you a bit an idea what it does. So, as a summary, you can read and write a lot of formats. You have the familiar manipulation. It's just a pandas data frame, so all your knowledge there, still, you can still use it. Different spatial operations, predicates, and are element-wise available. You can reproject your data, visualize your data, and do more advanced joins and overlays. Of course, there is more than GeoPandas. There are many other libraries that I didn't mention yet that use GeoPandas or can be used together. For example, just a few examples. You have GeoPlot, which gives some more high-level visualizations. Cartopy, certainly if you want to, because GeoPandas is not projection aware. It just assumes that it's a certain projection. But if you want to make maps that are aware of that, a Cartopy is very useful then. Folium for interactive plots, or SMNX, which I already mentioned, for which you can do street network analysis, and some others. That was a quick introduction to GeoPandas, but there is a but to this story. The but is that GeoPandas is rather slow, which can be a problem if you want to use GeoPandas on some bigger data sets. To give you an idea, for some basic operations, like a within operation, whether my point is within a polygon or the distance to a polygon for a series of 100,000 points, both those operations take around a second, it's a millisecond number, a second to run. It might not seem that much, but you can, of course, have a much bigger data set. And also, very basic operation that you often do from many points, you want to know the distance to many other points. So it quickly increases those numbers. To have a bit an idea of how good or bad that is, I try to compare it with some PostGIS. Don't have to look at the code here. You can find the full example in the repo of the slides. And I'm also not a PostGIS expert, but just to have some idea, I implemented two queries in PostGIS and did the same to get the same result in GeoPandas, and you see that PostGIS is quite a bit faster. Why is GeoPandas so slow? So GeoPandas just stores those points, so those line strings, the geometry objects, as Python objects in arrays. And for all the operations that I've shown, we actually just for example, we have a geo series, a point, and I want to calculate for each point the distance to another point. Basically, what happens under the hood is just a list comprehension through the objects, and we call on each individual object the function, which then calls into C to do the actual geos implementation of the distance function. So that gives a lot of overhead. Luckily, there are some recent new developments. It's a collaboration with Matthew Rocklin. It was a bit kind of a pet project for us this summer. And what we tried is, what we did, is implementing, for now it's called the geometry array. And it's an array like to hold geometry objects. But instead of storing the Python objects, we only store the integer pointers to the geos, the actual C objects. And so if we, for a certain operation, have to iterate through those, we can iterate in Cython and directly call geos from Cython. So removes a lot of the overhead. And once you access them, then it's still wrapped in a shapely object and nice Python class to interact easily with those objects. A second part for that is the geometry block. That's a bit more related to the internals of Pandas. That's to integrate it in Pandas, because of course we don't want that Pandas thinks it just integers and tries to do mathematics with those pointers. So what's the goal of this? Mainly to have better performance, but some other things, it will also reduce a little bit in memory use. It will give some possibilities for parallelization, because the loops in Cython can release a gill. It would be very interesting to explore a bit whether we can get some, try this out by using Dask to do some distributed or parallelized work with GeoPandas. And for the first aspect, the better performance, to give you an idea. So that were the timings that I showed before, and for the simple operations for some more advanced queries. And with the new refactored version of GeoPandas, these are the results. So for the simple things, it depends a bit on what kind of operation that you do. But for some operations, it's a bit faster or quite a lot faster. And also for the more advanced ones, you see now it's a lot faster than before. So that's very cool new developments, I would say. If you want to try this out, very welcome, because it's just new code we've written this summer. It can really use some actual testing with real-world data. So there is a link here to the issue on the tracker, which tracks a bit this development. So you can check out GeoPandas in the specific branch there to test this new version of GeoPandas. If you would be interested in that, you can certainly talk with me during the conference, but also during the sprint, for example, Friday would be a nice opportunity to further work on this. Okay, so that was my talk. If there are any questions, welcome to ask.
Short question, do you think, does it also work with kind of 3D data, like calculating some volumes, or would it be kind of simple to extend it to work with kind of a 3D thing, like calculating volumes or something like this?
For now, so about 3D data, so the simple features, they are actually extended to also to have surfaces and 3D surfaces, but as far as I know, I'm not sure how much the support for those features is in Geos, and certainly not yet in Shapely, but because we depend on Geos, it just depends on what Geos supports.
Any other questions? Excuse me.
Pandas integrates quite well with SQL Alchemy, and there's also a library called GeoAlchemy, which lets you integrate with PostGIS very well. Does GeoPandas integrate with GeoAlchemy?
Not yet directly with GeoAlchemy. We have a function to read from PostGIS, not yet to write to PostGIS, but actually it would be very easy. So that's I know there's also an open PR, but it's not yet now, but it should be easy to add. So okay. It's certainly a nice contribution you could make. Okay.
I had a question about the speed up that you were seeing in the Cython branch. Is that just because you moved the arrays and the looping to see, or are you also using like more clever data structures for doing distances, like ball trees or something like that?
For the simple things, the speedup comes from fact that we don't loop in Python but in Cython, and also that we don't have the overhead of the that we call the Python object and the Python object calls the C function. So those two aspects are for that. For the spatial zone, it's also because we use the tree indexing of geos in the spatial zone operation, just like PostGIS also does.
Okay.
Hey, I have a short question, rather application oriented. So one problem I very commonly have with GPS data is I have points, but the accuracy is not so good, meaning that I know that they are on the street, but they don't really necessarily correspond to the street. Do you maybe have any features which make it easy to say, okay, if this point is not on this kind of polygon, please give me its closest projection to one of those polygons?
Yeah, that's one of the... I'm not sure it's already implemented in the new version, but it's the closest point is a typical. It's certainly available in Shapely, for example. Typical operation that between those features is available to give the closest point from, for example, a point to a polygon or a line string.
Okay.
Do you have an opinion on Folium versus IPy Leaflet?
No.
Which one should I use?
I would say try it out. And the one you choose, you can do a contribution to add it to the example gallery of GeoPandas.
Still one last question.
Not directly. If you would have something like that, so the normal group by like pandas works. But if you want to group by certain areas, what I would make, and it's very easy to make, is just construct actual polygons of them, and then you can do just a spatial join to get in which polygon they are, and then you can do a group by. It's maybe in a few steps, but that's also easy to do then.